Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
And The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. Just a few moments away from Jean Bliss, out of her new book, I Love You More Than My Dog, The Customer Experience. Do your customers love you? Do they? I hope so. If they do, you're sitting pretty good if you're Zappos or somebody like that. And also, a little bit later on, Jeffrey Gittimer joins us. Thinking about quitting. Now, okay, today's economy may not prompt those kind of thoughts, but I'm sure there are folks out there that just say, you know, God, I hate my job. What could I do better? I hate my boss. I don't like the way they do things here. So Jeffrey's going to give you some sage advice on whether or not you should quit or not. So we'll find out that as well. And David Weigeld is our special guest. Basically, David and Jonathan Bowman are the founders and partners of Immersion Active, the only internet marketing agency in the United States focused solely on the baby boomer and senior markets. And we're going to talk to David out of Baltimore, or I think it's Baltimore. We'll find out specifically here in just a little while here at the Advertising Show. What are you looking at there, Brad? What do you have?
Well, I was going to mention, as you read a little bit of the bio there, if you're listening from anywhere in the continental United States, of course, we have a worldwide audience, but if you're listening in the U.S. And you do have a digital agency that focuses in on the baby boomer and senior market, and that's all you do, send your emails to David and his company, and he'll strike that word only from his bio.
Okay.
Well, anyway, it's a great read, his book that you mentioned, Ray, and it's an interesting topic, and I'm looking forward to tackling it. And by the way, we have had a lot of people in the last few months linking to our website. I say people that have created blogs and marketing and advertising and other topics have been linking to our site, and I just wanted to thank them for that. Whoever they are, they know who they are. And if you're a new listener and you come into our show today for the first time through some of these listings on blogs, welcome. iTunes is where you can subscribe to our show. Go there and just plug The Advertising Show into the podcast category, then you will see us, and that's Ray over there, and this is me over here, and just click on to subscribe.
Wait a minute. No, I just moved. All right.
Oh, wait.
Good. I'm there.
Oh.
I'm fine.
Anyway, how long ago was it that we predicted Sirius and XM would merge? 8-9 years ago?
They kind of had to, didn't they?
Well, they did, but here's a new twist on this, Ray. Pioneer is unveiling a new car stereo that can detect Pandora internet radio settings from iPhones and iPods, which could be translated to user access while driving. The new product is seen at the tech sector observers as a threat to the very survival of Sirius XM. And just to mention, this product from Pioneer will be available, what does it say here? I'm thinking they said
not
March.
Soon enough. Yeah.
March. They're going to launch that. So
see, that's great. I think it's wonderful that that Pandora is an incredible, incredible venue for music and such. It's just, it's kind of what the radio industry should be thinking about as well, as they program
right.
their radio stations.
Right.
But as
you,
far as
you like,
no, I love it.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm a big fan too, and I just want to clarify, not only iPhones and iPods, Ray, but if you own a Android or BlackBerry or a Palm Pre or a Windows mobile phone, all of those, you carry that with you into your car, it'll pick it up, and all of a sudden you're listening to Pandora. You're listening to internet radio via Pandora, and you're right, Ray. Yeah. It's a great service. It's a wonderful service.
Interestingly enough, as well, HD radio is having some problems, and I can easily see why. There are very, very, very few radio stations that get HD. they look at it as something that, well, geez, what the heck are we going to do with this channel? We don't even know what to do with our other two channels. So, but there are some, like NPR does a good job of HD, but they certainly haven't maximized it. And as a result, it looks like HD radio may not be the wave of the future as it is. It's all about choice, people. What else can you want? Although I have to say SiriusXM is nice. Crank it on. We've got it on the cable. Not the cable, but the satellite. And yeah. It's good stuff there, too. But you really can't beat Pandora. And radio should take a lesson from Pandora and then figure out where to go from there. Here in 2010, things have changed a little bit from the 80s and 90s. What's in store for 2010 for a weight loss biz? Well, obviously, a lot of stuff is in store. 59.7 billion industry rose 2% in 2009, way down from the typical historical rate of 6%. But the industry has taken a beating as high-priced diet programs lose subscribers to cheaper weight loss options or no diets at all. Hey, there's not a concept. But what they're suggesting is 2010 they're going to get back in gear, and you really can't turn on the television or the radio or walk too far or drive too far without seeing something from a weight loss vendor. It's obviously a wonderful industry to get involved in, but we'll see how that goes as well. So everybody's on a diet here as we go into a brand new year, which you really should think about doing all year long, but that's okay. No problemo. We've got, let's see, who are we doing? Gene Bliss here. Do your customers love you? Do they love you? We did a survey here at the offices of our customers just to get a kind of take their temperature and found out some interesting things. Maybe you should do that as well. But in the meantime, let's listen to Gene.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Do customers say they love you? The fact of the matter is, decisions that earn customer love are not easily reached. Many companies try to copy the actions that result from beloved companies' decisions. But to achieve the same impact, what enabled the decision must exist. It's the intent and motivation, the what and why behind decisions that bond people with companies. Why did Land's End offer a guarantee? Founder Gary Comer told me his intent was to first send a strong and indelible message inside the company. A guarantee means we have to deliver on the customer's terms, he said. And his motivation was to give people inside the company ownership of doing the right thing for customers. When your intent, what you want to accomplish, and your motivation, the reason you make your decisions, are driven by your awareness of and empathy for the people impacted by your decisions, the outcomes will set you apart. The humanity and empathy of your decisions will connect you emotionally with customers who will grow your business by telling everyone they know all about you.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Gene Bliss in her new book, I Love You More Than My Dog. What a great feature.
Or in our case, dogs.
Yeah, exactly. Man, you can't beat that. Who doesn't like dogs? I'm so sorry if you don't. Leading authorities on the mature markets online, David Weigelt and Jonathan Bowman, are founders and partners of Immersion Active, the only internet marketing agency in the United States, focusing solely on the baby boomer and the senior markets. They have each worked in online marketing since about 95, crafting their expertise in developing interactive marketing campaigns targeting boomers and seniors. David and Jonathan's strategic and creative direction leverages the agency's developmental approach to deliver sophisticated and engaging online experiences for older consumers. Older. People like AARP, Dell Web, and Home Instead Senior Care are part of what Immersion Active's campaigns yield meaningful results. And what we're talking about today is a book that David is co-author of. It's called Dot Boom, and it really addresses those issues and such. And we're going to talk with David here in just a moment. Ray and Brad on the Advertising Show, by the way, which is powered by Schipul.com. It's Schipul.com. And a program called Tendency, which is a killer platform for marketing online as well. So check it out at Schipul.com. More to come here at the Advertising Show in just a minute. Stay right here.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
You love Double Mint Gum. Double good, Double Mint Gum. Double fresh flavor, double smooth too.
As promised, we are back with The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth. We're talking with David Weigelt, who is, amongst other things, an agency guy. Immersion Active is the agency. But he is the co-author of a book called Dot Boom, Marketing to Baby Boomers Through Meaningful Online Engagement. We're going to find all about that. Man, what a perfect time of our generation in marketing and such to find a book like this. So, David, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, David, your foreword written by David Wolf, he praises Dot Boom as the only book devoted to online marketing for consumers aged 50 and older. And I'm curious, with such a large percentage of the consumer market defined as boomers, where do you think this market has been largely ignored?
You know, I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I think our industry obviously is very young, and so there's not a whole lot of sex appeal to going after them. But then there's just a ton of myths surrounding whether they're online at all. And then certainly if you acknowledge that they're online, their level of engagement. So there's just a whole lot of factors that feed into that.
Yes, and yet it has a huge potential. You're not the first author that we've had on the show that has written about the boomer market, but I think you are the first author that we've had that focused totally on the online activity of the boomer. And, you know, early on in your book, you say the older the consumer population, the more likely the results of survey-style research is flawed. Tell me a little bit more about this idea.
Yeah, so that's based on a lot of our work and this DRM model that we use, which is a developmental model to understanding adults and how we go through seasons of life and how that predisposes us to act in certain ways and affects our motivations. The DRM philosophy is based on the work of Maslow, Eric Erickson, Carl Jung, and then David Wolf, who's ultimately a mentor for our company. What happens is we shift from the first half of life to the second half of life. We go from being more kind of absolute thinkers, black and white thinkers, to thinking more in terms, more in grays, in shades of gray. And so you can see where that would be problematic when an older adult is presented with a series of choices. They're inclined to say, well, it depends, you know. And so that makes it very tough for certain types of surveys and research to be accurate with older adults.
And, you know, with Ray getting a little older, I try not to use the word depends very much because he tends to think of that as a brand name rather than a
They're my friend, okay?
Yes.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah. No, you mentioned engagement earlier.
Big
yeah, it really is.
David, you mentioned engagement earlier. It's one of those buzzwords that fly around within our industry quite often. However, many are unable to agree on a common definition. How would you define engagement, and in particular for the boomer-specific market?
Yep. I mean, this is one of the best outcomes of this process we've been through in terms of focusing on these consumers. And we define it as the exchange of information within a topic. So that's our definition of engagement. And we take a holistic approach to that. We're trying to measure both online and offline measures, but most importantly, we're trying to get away from, you know, what's commonly referred to as the last ad, you know, the last click, which is a suggestion that we take a very transactional approach and we attribute 100% of someone's action to, you know, the last thing that they clicked on.
So is there a different way to engage with an older consumer than, say, a 30-year-old?
There absolutely is. I mean, there's a lot of keys to that. One of the biggest things that we see being done incorrectly out there is when companies are committing dollars and resources to engaging boomers and seniors online, they're trying to engage them as creators. So if you guys have, I would imagine, be familiar with Groundswell and Forrester's work. They have their social technographics ladder, and at the top of that ladder, apparently the pinnacle user is the creator. Well, in reality, only 12% of adults 50-plus are creators, and so you have to acknowledge that and say, well, we need to kind of mirror their engagement, and what we do to mirror that engagement is to inspire and encourage sharing between the different influencers that we're targeting.
You know, in your book, shifting gears for a moment, you say that most boomers will not only find ways to meet their base needs, but they also find a way to maintain the lifestyles that they've become accustomed to. Most marketers, I believe, and just the population in general, I think when they think of a person aging and becoming, you know, close to retiring or post-retirement, they tend to think of a lifestyle change, maybe a lesser of spending, maybe consumerism drops a bit, but you're suggesting otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, to the myths, one of the big ones is that they are brand loyal, and so when you look at the boomers especially, there's been a lot of research, most recently done by AARP, that suggests, you know, they're not brand loyal like their parents were, and they are more than willing and looking for, you know, better experiences that offer value. And certainly, you know, I think the past 18 months has been a great test of this, where we've seen, you know, the new frugality, as they call it, kind of revealed. And that is, you know, they've cut back in certain areas, but they're still spending and they're still maintaining that lifestyle. They're just doing it in different ways. You know, instead of taking a family on a cruise, they might be doing something more, you know, centered around the home in terms of pulling the family together.
So things have changed just a little bit here as we've gone through this economic downturn, but it's interesting to see. You know, obviously I'm a target of what you're talking about as well, David. Dot Boom is the book. It's called Marketing to Baby Boomers Through Meaningful Online Engagement. How does that affect you? How does that affect your advertiser or your product or service? We'll find out more here in just a minute on The Advertising Show.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
I drink Dr. Pepper and I'm proud. I used to be alone in a crowd. But now you look around these days.
This is good stuff in the book here. It's Dot Boom, Marketing to Baby Boomers Through Meaningful Online Engagement. David Weigeld is our special guest out of Frederick, Maryland, the home of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Even this is not a pilot show. It's fun to mention that. So, David, it's a pleasure to have you here. Welcome back.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, you guys, I guess you and your partner, coined a term called ageless marketing, which flies in the face of what most traditional marketers think when it comes to marketing. We're accustomed to dealing with demographics and so forth. So tell us, what is ageless marketing?
You bet. So again, I want to give credit where credit's due. The concept ageless marketing was coined back in 1990, again, by this gentleman, David Wolf, who is about 78 years old, lives actually about 40 minutes from us in Leesburg, Virginia, another aviation hub. Mm-hmm. And the concept of ageless marketing is that, you know, with all of the media fragmentation, with all of the different concurrent life events that any generation has going on, but boomers especially have more concurrent life events than any going on, we need an approach that is inclusive as opposed to exclusive. And so ageless marketing looks to kind of get to the core of who we are from a principles of human behavior and say, how can we appeal to a group in a deeper and a more meaningful relationship that also casts that net wider? So even though we're an agency that's focused on the boomer and senior markets, our approach, DRM combined with our MO process, allows us to really deploy our campaigns and have a broader reach. And this is really important for us because most of the clients that come to us, they have a senior end consumer with a boomer decision maker who often has an adult child who is helping in the research process as well. Hmm. So that's why we felt like this approach was really important.
Well, let me throw out some categories for you, David, and tap your wonderful brain with regard to some of the differences as well as maybe some of the, I don't know, misconceptions about the boomer and senior market when it comes to starting with social media. Just taking that subject for a moment, I think most people, when they think of social media, they think of young kids online trading stories and pictures and where they went for summer vacation, and maybe young adults as well. And I think social media is not something normally associated with a 50-plus market, certainly not with the senior market. So is this a fair assessment, or what would we be surprised to learn about the 50-plus or the senior market when it comes to social media?
Yeah, I mean, great question. What you're suggesting is very commonly thought to be the case. The reality is, exactly 12 months ago, CNN's homepage reflected, and it was pretty widespread news, that women 55-plus, actually the fastest-growing group of users on Facebook. When it comes to Twitter, New York Times has reported, as a lot of others have, that it's not the teens, it's adults 45-plus. So, you know, adults in the second half of life are very engaged in social media, but I think marketers have to be really careful because they've been dipping their toe into it, trying to figure it out and so forth. But again, like I said in the last segment, the way that they engage is very different, and the reasons that they engage are very different. So they're largely getting involved with this because they want to stay connected. And you have to kind of acknowledge that, and then again acknowledge, you know, most people would say they're kind of sitting on the sidelines, but that doesn't make them without worth. They're sitting there, they're sharing in different ways other than creating content. But when you do see them creating content and having exchanges online, what I can tell you, and you'll see on any of the great sites out there that target this audience, whether it's Eons or Vibrant Nation, Third Age, is that the conversations are much more meaningful. You know, it's not this shorthand gibberish back and forth. They're real conversations going back and forth. So there's also a great opportunity for brands to listen, which is, I know, something that we're just catching on to.
Sadly.
Enlighten us a little bit on rich media and the 50-plus market. I know Ray and I have used rich media for many years, although we tend to be a bit ahead of the curve, I'm sure. And yet you suggest that rich media is something that's not just for the young people, not unlike social media.
Yeah, great point as well. This was one of the things I think that shocked us most. So we've been in business since 98. We narrowed our focus, about 4.5, 5 years ago. And one of the first bits of research that we did as part of some usability testing for one of our senior living clients had to do with rich media. And what we found out was we had a site developed by a senior living community that had a total, you know, flash interface and a lot of video. And that site scored much higher than your traditional HTML site. And the bottom line, what we found was, it's kind of obvious when you think about it. We're talking about, when it comes to boomers, the TV generation. And so you're also talking about a generation, an age group, whether it's the boomers or the seniors, that, might not be as comfortable with the newest technology or gadgets online. And so this notion of being able to open your browser and, start a rich media experience that's going to take your hand and lead you through it is very powerful. Rich video is actually being more fastly adopted now by adults 70-plus than younger adults.
Incredible.
And the last point I would make is that why we really, really love it, two things. One is there's no better way to make an emotional connection, which is absolutely essential to do really quick when you're dealing with an older consumer, and the shareability factor. Again, they're not out there creating content like younger adults, but they're more than willing to share a video.
The book is called Dot Boom, Marketing to Baby Boomers Through Meaningful Online Engagement. And with us on the phone out of Frederick, Maryland, is David Weichelt, the co-author of the book, along with Jonathan Bowman. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here with more coming up in just a moment. Stay with us.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Here are some most happy fellas, the four lads for four.
You know, I actually got engaged in this conversation here about Dot Boom just about 20 minutes ago here, so I'm with everybody here listening. It's David Weigelt, who's the author, co-author actually, of Dot Boom, Marketing to Baby Boomers Through Meaningful Online Engagement. This is good stuff, David. Thanks for putting it down on paper, and hopefully lots of folks will buy the book.
Hey, thank you very much. It's been great. You know, I've listened to some of your past authors on here, and, you know, with your first book, it's always a challenge. It doesn't go as fast as you want. But the reviews have been fantastic, and what's been interesting is not only from marketers, but from gerontologists and even the end consumer. And there's a lot of boomer entrepreneurs out there looking to do stuff online for their own audience, so it's been very rewarding.
Also want to mention the website once again, dotboombook.com. It's dotboombook.com. Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, it's a very interesting read, and as maybe you've heard, since you are a follower of the show, we don't have authors just because they send us books. We have authors on that have wonderful topics, and your book certainly is one of them, David, so thanks for joining us. By the way, we've had many guests talk about trust. We how important trust is to from a marketing standpoint. We all know that. Share with us, David, your thoughts about what trust means to boomers and how marketers can build and maintain consumer trust when targeting this market.
Yeah, you bet. I know that's it's almost trite the extent to which people refer to the need for trust. The reason that trust is so important with an older consumer is that, one, we are very dependent on word of mouth and the sharing that happens, like we've discussed. And the second thing is that as we get older, and this is a relative thing, we tend to make more decisions from the gut. And the reason for that is that we have a lifetime's worth of experience, and we become more whole-brain thinkers. So whether as a young adult you are a right or left-brain thinker, you become more of a whole-brain thinker. And the bottom line is we're able to more quickly as an older adult take the context of something, whether it's a banner ad on a page, you know, or a text ad or a blog post, and we're able to quickly, with what's surrounding it, put it into context and make a snap decision and say, hey, I trust this or I don't. So it's a huge factor. You know, authenticity is what everybody's talking about right now, and we can't stress that enough, especially with social media.
You offer an interesting tip in your book, which is use nostalgia appropriately. Let's start with when nostalgia is inappropriate, David.
Right.
Yeah, you see a lot of commercials that are trying to appeal to the Woodstock generation or, you know, a group that was supposedly politically radical. And the reality is that the average boomer was about 12 years old, sitting up at the kitchen table still eating milk and cookies when Woodstock happened. And only 13 to 15%, I think, is the statistic of boomers were ever politically active in any form, in any way. So we tell people to be very cautious about jumping on a bandwagon where you're trying to appeal to the cohort effect. This is 78 million people spread over 20 years, and it's just simply too too large of a group to do that. Where it is powerful is where when you're engaging the senses. So we think that music is a good example because it can trigger a physiological reaction, positive or negative. So you still have to be careful, but it's a tricky one.
And a lot of advertisers are turning to that as well. I hate to say this, but guys, we're out of time here. tell you what, go get the book, read it, it's in here, and it's called Dot Boom, Marketing to Baby Boomers Through Meaningful Online Engagement. You can go online and find out more about it, too, at dotboombook.com. But David, great book, thank you for writing it, and best of luck as you sell this.
Hey, thank you guys very much, I enjoyed the conversation.
On the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe, we'll do one more segment, and we'll come back in just a minute.
There is somewhere better to get inspired creative ideas. This is where it's at. OpenAd.net, the first online platform for advertisers, changing the way that ideas are created and traded. Access nearly 11,000 creative minds representing 125 countries around the world. Waiting online to have a go at your brief. Imagine the impact such range and diversity of talent can have on your next advertising campaign. All creative work is IP cleared before you get it. We take care of all the details while you get brilliant ideas in a fraction of the time, at a lower cost, and with a lot less fuss. No endless meetings, no away days. When a client needed a new corporate identity ASAP and on a tight budget, they got the impossible. 170 creative solutions to the client in just 24 hours, from brief to deadline. OpenAd.net, busting down the walls of the ad industry. Put it to the test. Just go to OpenAd.net and give us a try. And what have you got to lose? The future starts here.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Sure.
You taste 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch.
David is a great guest, and we are so happy to have had him here at The Advertising Show. The book is called Dot Boom, dotboombook.com is the website, if you didn't catch that already. We have, who do we have coming up next week? It's, Matt Pike, who is founder of Universal Everything. There's a specific company, Universal Everything. So we'll have to find out more about what that's all about. Who knows? Maybe we can find that long-lost thing that we were looking for. He has it, you know, and everybody else doesn't. Jeffrey Gittimer here on the way here in just a moment. Bartle Bogle, Hagerty, New York, the new creative agency for General Motors Cadillac.
BBH.
It shall be interesting to see what comes out of there. And what do you think about that? I mean, do you think it's a big deal, the fact that they're working with somebody outside of Detroit for something like that?
Absolutely, but not in a bad way. I think getting out of that culture and having some fresh talent is a good thing. And General Motors needs all of that they can get, I believe.
There you go.
You know, I remember the days in which your sports heroes would come on television and not cry. I mean, you know, a few weeks ago, McGuire was crying and all that. This I will tie into something that's interesting I found in the news recently. Arbitron CEO Michael Skarzinski is resigning after admitting a misstatement in his testimony before a U.S. Congressional committee.
Yep.
His actions are inconsistent with our corporate values, the company says, which states that honesty, integrity come first. Later, an Arbitron spokesman, Ray, said in an email that Skarzinski told the committee he personally attended a Prince George County focus group when he did not.
Right.
So I guess the lesson here, boys and girls, is when you're testifying to Congress, tell the truth.
Yeah. Well,
and I don't know if you saw any of those outtakes, but the history of McGuire in front of the Congress doing his testimony. He continually said, I don't want to talk about my past. I don't want to discuss my past. And he kept redirecting the question. And he never denied that he did not, take steroids during his career. He just kept saying, I don't want to discuss the past. So now coming clean with it, he's not going to get, you know, thrown in the hooscow because he didn't lie to Congress. He just didn't answer their question.
And Canseco, the other guy who basically did come clean with all of this garbage,
yes,
it feels like he's gotten thrown under the bus because of some of the things that McGuire said.
And more of his book is coming true, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's sad. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs. And man alive, I don't think I'd want to be in either Canseco's or McGuire's shoes, or in the baseball world of fame, so to speak, at this point in time. Not a good thing to do. Yeah. So I guess this goes hand in hand with a topic that we're talking about today. Jeffrey Gittimer's thing is thinking about quitting. Not steroids, your job. Many people are thinking about quitting their jobs at this stage of the economy. There are many who are happy to have them, but there are some of those out there that are dissatisfied, you know, as you see the politics of business and such. But Jeffrey has some good advice, and we'll hear that right now.
Quick takes on sales and customer relations with Jeffrey Gittimer, nationally syndicated columnist in the network of City Business Journals and other great publications worldwide. If you're offended by common sense commentary, don't you dare listen. Now, here's Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, I'm not doing well. Jeffrey, they're setting too high a goal for me. Jeffrey, I don't like my boss. Jeffrey, I'm in a slump. Jeffrey, our products is not good. Jeffrey, I think I should go someplace else. And I say to that, you know what? Your head's probably already someplace else. Your mind is gone from your job. But here's what to do. If you leave where you are and you go someplace new and you haven't achieved where you are, the odds are you're going to talk about them bad, you're going to be disgruntled at your next place, and you're not going to have the success that you're looking for where the grass is always greener. I recommend to every person that says to me, I'm leaving my job for something better, I recommend that first you become the number one salesperson in your company. Take the extra 2 or 3 months and work so hard that you become number one. And when you do, on the day you become number one, quit then. Quit at the top of the heap so that people are dragging you by the ankle. No, don't leave. Please don't leave. You're our best salesperson. When you can say that you're number one and it's time for me to move on, then you can get to the next plateau and achieve greater success. Don't leave a loser. Leave a winner.
Quick takes on sales and customer relations from The Advertising Show, the only radio show in America featuring Jeffrey Gittimer as a regular weekly guest. To learn more about his books, tapes, CDs, and speaking engagements, log on to Gittimer.com, Gittomer.com. And tune in next week when we'll hear Jeffrey say,
this is Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you that if no one responds to your ad, it may be because your ad sucks.
Good stuff from Jeffrey, as always, here with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. As if all of the stuff with surrounding Leno and O'Brien and everybody else there on NBC, the headline is NBC Universal expects to lose money on the Winter Olympics. Oh, really? Well, that sounds like a good deal. NBC Universal expects to lose money on the broadcast of the Olympics for the first time in recent memory, according to the company's top sports executive, who cited sluggish early ad sales and a rise in the cost of obtaining rights to cover the event. Maybe they could use Conan on that. Who knows?
Yeah, that'd be a good
idea. Was something like 200 million or something like that. It's like,
that sounds
okay.
Low. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm trying to look for a number here, and I can't find it. Oh, excuse me. $2 billion for the rights of the 2010 Winter Olympics in 2012 back in 2003. At that time, the international sporting event was important to the Peacock because it had ceased broadcasting the NFL, the MLB, and the NBA. NBC has begun again broadcasting Sunday night football games, if you've been elsewhere.
Well, I'm sorry, Ray. Excuse me. I was just going to say, think about it. In 2003, who would have known what you'd be doing in 2010 and who would or would not be willing to step up to the line and support the Olympics in the form of advertising? So they bought it, you know, long ago, and here we are today. And I guess that's the risk you take when you do those kind of things.
I certainly, and looking at the fact, seems to me though, if you're going to get out of the sports business, get out of the sports business. You don't want to be the NFL or the Major League Baseball or the NBA. So now you want to be an Olympic station. It doesn't hold a lot of continuity to me. It certainly doesn't send the right message. And I so hate looking at the television on Sunday afternoons and watching Ron Popeil instead of something that's worthwhile. But well, God bless you, NBC, Ron, because you're good, too.
NBC's example of this Olympic deal is buy high, sell low.
Well, I'm not using them for my stock market, that's for sure. That's not a good thing. It's been fun. We've got a great show for you coming up next week here at the Advertising Show. And we hope you'll come back and see us again. Would that be nice? Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at adage.com with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.